Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless
Thanksgiving
you.
Thanksgiving dinner. Okay, there we go. All right, if you have a Bible, again, just having a little fun here prior to Thanksgiving. We're wrapping up our series on... Thank you, Vanna. Thank you very much. You probably need to throw that away. All right. All right, gang. We have been in a quick 3-week series about giving thanks, and my purpose in doing this series was that this would be a transformative series. When I say transformative, I think that I hope that going forward, from these 3 weeks on, we're going to look at Thanksgiving differently, and even thinking of the word. We had kind of 3 major points that we were looking at up to this point. Number one, up to this message, is that God wants us to give Him thanks. He wants us to be thankful. God intends it. In fact, when we looked last week, our message was that it was part of His intention, His purpose for us to give thanks. My second main thing that we've covered in the past 2 weeks was that giving thanks is actually good for us. You know, as people whom God created us to give thanks, it is really good for us to do that. And the third thing that we talked about last week, as Kathy alluded to in her offering, was that when we can give thanks in all situations. We can give thanks. Doesn't matter. We don't have to give thanks for every situation, but we can give thanks in every situation. So today, we're going to talk about what having a grateful heart does inside of us, what it actually does to us, the transformation that begins to happen. And so there's 2 portions of scripture that I want us to turn to. Number one is the book of Matthew chapter 10. Then take your finger and put it in the gospel or the John's first epistle, 1 John chapter 4. And we've got two main verses here. And the first one in Matthew chapter 10 that we want to begin to look at, just set it up and contextually. Jesus has called His apostles together. He's called the 12 to follow Him. They have seen His miracles. They have seen His authority. They've seen Him do many marvelous works. And now they've received the call. Now they have responded to the call. And now He is sending them out to do ministry to the lost sheep of Israel. And so He sends them out with this instruction. Matthew 10, verse 8. Let's all read this together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. It's a very, very, imagine, first of all, that's kind of intimidating to get that type of a job description here. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out and raise the dead. A gulp. I want you to go heal the sick. I want you to cleanse lepers. I want you to cast out demons. Now, it's interesting. You know, as they received that, I imagine if you received these instructions, you would be a little intimidated as well, correct? No, what He's basically saying is the works that I have done. Jesus is saying the works that I have done, you're supposed to be doing the same works. Now, I got a question for you. Do you think any different is the charge for us? I mean, you consider that in the Great Commission, we're called to go, therefore, and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And then I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. It's a fantastic challenge for each one of us that we have a purpose, and God has called us to do ministry. But here specifically, the 12, He's telling them that you have received without paying, and therefore, you should give without pay. Now, John helps us understand this even a little better. Because John, in writing to the church, he says that we love because He first loved us. He goes on to let us know that if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from Him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So we see a few things here. Jesus, his disciples, are being told that they are supposed to literally reflect the same works, but they have received without paying, and therefore they're to give without pay. I got a question for you today. Has God done anything in your life that you didn't deserve? If God has done something in your life that you have not deserved. I mean, let's just roll back to the very beginning of your walk with Christ. You did not get good enough to receive salvation. A lot of people have that wrong theology that somehow they feel that they deserve salvation. And you think, well, that's not really the case. It actually is. If the statistics are staggering, that if you ask the random person on the streets, and I've told you this many times before, how do I get to heaven? They all say, the majority of people say the same things. I gotta be good enough. Good heavens, there's a show that just was, very, very popular show now called The Good Place, and it's all about a scoring mechanism and how they use philosophy and various types of things to find out if you are good enough. And the entire base of it is anti-Christian in their sentiment. And again, it's a very funny show and there's some interesting things, but understand and know that the underlying crutch of what they're saying. It's a system that says this: I somehow deserve. I am getting what I deserve. I'd just like to tell everybody in this room, be very, very glad that you don't get what you deserve. Look, I'm first partaker of that. I guarantee you this. I'm thankful for grace. I'm thankful for mercy. I'm thankful that I don't get. And then in terms of what's my response to that, look, I should love because God loved me. And that the very things that God wants to impart to me, they transform me. So we should have an appreciation for what God has done with us, and that changes us. Contrary to a very, very popular seductive theology that is in the church today, which says that I am at the center of God's universe. God is at the center of God's universe. God does not exist as a genie in the lamp to grant all of our wishes. And rather, God offers us salvation and then offers us a place with Him in His plan that we can work according to His good measure. Not popular today. So let's think about this holiday that we're about to celebrate. And I hope that if you see this word, my goal simply today is that every time you look at this word, you're going to look at it a little bit different. So today we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. Or today, Thursday, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving as a national holiday. We've talked about that the past several weeks. And I get that in English, our word Thanksgiving means it's a time for us to give thanks. But I would like us to look at this word a little differently. I would like it to look at it as a progression and as a spiritual progression and break it down there. So if we break this compound word together, it begins with thanks. So thanks. And as a parent, you know, I want my kids to be thankful. And as I've given you over the first 2 weeks, God wants us as His children to be thankful. Are we all on the same page? When you recognize that, it should do something to you. It should transform you. Thanks. When you get thanks, it should lead you to giving. When you understand what God has done, and when you really get the thanks part down, it's going to transform you to want to be more giving. Let me show you like this. Point one. I've only got 2 points for you today. Can you, what a nice guy I am. Because people are traveling. Okay. Point one is this. Gratitude leads to giving. Gratitude leads to giving. How many of you have seen that the movie Saving Private Ryan? Powerful, powerful movie. Again, it's a rough movie. I have a very, very hard time watching that. It's a powerful, powerful movie, and I get it's really, really violent, and there's some really intense things, so I'm not trying to press that. But I was so moved at the end, the last scene, when Private Ryan is an elderly gentleman, and he's looking back, and he's going to visit the graves of individuals who sacrificed their life for him so that he could make it home. He could be with his parents, and he falls down at the graveside, and he cries out, "Have I been good enough? Am I a good man?" And in essence, when he understood the gravity of what people did for him and the lengths that people went for him, he was so overwhelmed with gratitude that his life changed. He wanted to be a better person. He wanted to live a life worthy of the sacrifice that was given. I'm always, always moved by that. When you recognize, my church family, what Christ has done for you, it changes your life. It changes your life. In Matthew 10, he says, look, you received without paying. And when we want to hold that into Christ's economy and God's economy for us, and you consider what God has done for you, it should transform you. And I think for a lot of times we try to just get past that, or we think it's okay, we'll celebrate, we'll remember that around when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. But there's something that should make us a little bit uncomfortable when we see how much that God has done for us. Don't get comfortable. Don't get callous to that. I mean, in John chapter 4, we see, and it's a wonderful, wonderful portion of Scripture, this woman at the well of Samaria. And she's had a sordid past. And Jesus has this encounter with her. And as he goes up, he begins to demonstrate his omniscience. He demonstrates his power. And here she was avoiding everything. She was just going to, in fact, the very hour that she was at the well was a time where not many people would go there. And most theologians agree that she was trying to keep to her own. So maybe she was made fun of. Whatever it was, she had come to the place in her life where she was keeping to herself. Jesus has a conversation with her. She brings up her past and some of her sordid details of her life. And then lets her know about the promise that he has of eternal life. And I want you to know that as a result of that encounter, when she recognized that he was offering living water and she would never thirst again, and he was talking about her eternal soul, not just her physical needs, that Jesus was here for more in her life than just her physical needs, but her entire being. It changed everything. It says that she went back and she told all the people in the village, look, I met a man. And then she spread the gospel so much so that when later in the book of Acts, as they came to the same area, she had spread the gospel. Now, for those of you in the room who I totally appreciate, for our very quiet people, our more withdrawn people, our non-type A overbearing people, I get it. I get that. So for our quiet, more reserved, more laid back folks, I want you to know this. That doesn't exempt us from sharing Christ. Because I'm shy doesn't exempt me from sharing Christ. And in the same way, you actually have a leg up. Because most of us annoying, and I say us, because yes, us annoying people who are always out there, our motives can be very skewed, or we can get in the way of ourselves. But Jesus transforms her, and something changes in her life. And now she's going about on an encounter, on a mission. She went from just worrying about her own needs and her life and a solitary focus to giving freely of herself the message of Jesus. In Reader's Digest, several years ago, I had a story of a woman named Eileen Taylor. And Eileen Taylor had a rough point in her life. She was a physician's assistant, and she had lost her job. She was struggling. Finances were very tight. So she went to her favorite donut place, a place called Heavenly Donuts. That sounds good, doesn't it? So she went to Heavenly Donuts, and as she went through, a lady ahead of her, she pulled up to pay her bill, and her bill had already been paid by the woman who went in front of her. She said, you know, at that moment, I just really needed. I felt down. I felt alone. And just that simple, you know, we've heard that random act of kindness made an impact on her. So the next day, as she went back to Heavenly Donuts to order her coffee, she decided that she would pay for the person behind her, an order that came to roughly $12. I bet some of us were thinking, you just want a coffee and then you paid for somebody for $12. They got a better deal. But what happened, she didn't realize. For the next 2.5 hours, 55 people continued to pay for the order of the people behind them. I was talking with one of our church members here who actually works at McDonald's, and she said that a similar thing happened. Not that she said 12 people is kind of her record that has happened to her here. But and so understand this. Gratitude increases generosity. You know, when someone does something good for you, when someone does something kind for you, don't you just want to pay it forward? It's a wonderful thing. I think it's a beautiful thing in life. Which brings me to my second point of, so why do we have that good feeling? When you do something nice for somebody, or somebody's blessed you, and you think, I just want to be like that. Why is that? I believe it's for my point two, my second point today, which is this, that we are like God when we give. We are like God when we give. Now, before you say, well, what do you mean by that? Finish this phrase, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. God loved, and because he loved, he gave. And we can go through Scripture. I mean, we can spend a lot of time going through the various things that God has given us. I mean, let's just name a few of them. I mean, God gives us life. Has anybody God offered new life in this room to? Okay, yeah, let's go. God gives us, anybody thankful that God has given you mercy? How about grace? Has God given you grace? And again, grace, our working definition of grace is getting what we don't deserve. We've gotten mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve, right? And justice is getting what you deserve. So if we think of this, God has given us grace. He's given us gifts. I mean, those of you, everything that you have, your talents, your abilities, those are a gift from God. Has anybody ever received wisdom or counsel from God? You're at that place, that crossroads in your life, and you weren't sure what to do, and then you prayed, and maybe it was a difficult wrestle, but God gave you wisdom? Again, James tells us that we can ask God, and he will give us wisdom without finding fault. That's a wonderful thing. God, a couple other things that God gives you that I want everybody to know is that God gives you ministry. Well, not me. Yep, you. God gives all of us ministry. God gives all of us purpose. In fact, we were made according to His foreknowledge. He purposed us according to His foreknowledge. In other words, God knows everything and every decision you would ever make. And He purposed you knowing every decision, good, bad, stupid, smart, everything. He's still given you purpose. Y'all should be like, yeah. He's kind of like, mm-hmm. Gang, God is a giving God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. This is why it's important that we are like God when we give. When we give, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says that therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So if we are supposed to be like God when we give, because we're supposed to imitate God. And if God is a giving God and we're supposed to imitate God, that means we should be giving as well. It's part of who we are called to be. 1 Corinthians 15:49, as Brenda read for us earlier today, tells us, Paul, in instructing the church, he's saying, look, we just as we've borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. We are called to be giving. And how does that happen? When we start with understanding what God has done for us. It's a powerful thing. To summarize, I bet you think, think about the people who've had tremendous things done for their lives. Anybody known anybody who just came into some great windfall? And what happens immediately is they have to go into hiding because everybody just kind of comes around them. And, you know, everybody's got their hand out for something. But the truth is, you know, if you think about things, there's a couple from Franklin, Tennessee who went to a Dave Ramsey class at their church. And they were trying to get out of debt. And the story is they share is a pretty powerful one, is one of their goals, they met another couple and they were talking and said, well, why are you doing Dave Ramsey? Why are you trying to get out of debt? They said, well, we have $10,000 of debt. And once we got out of debt, you know, we'd like to get our kids a trampoline, but then we'd like to adopt a child. And the conversation ended. And the next day at work, the man in whom they were relaying their story of what they would do if they got out of debt showed up at the gentleman's office with the trampoline. And he goes, oh, my kids are going to freak out. This is like the coolest thing in the world. And so he set up the trampoline and they thought that was wonderful. And then they got a phone call a few days later saying, could they come over? There's something they wanted to share with them. And they thought, multi-level marketing. In fact, they were very annoyed. They were like, what? They're going to try to get us into some type of multi-level marketing. You know, this isn't a really good time, thanks. And they kept being persistent and kept being persistent and kept being persistent. Finally, they showed up at their house. I thought, well, let's just get this over with. Said, we have one question for you. How do you spell your last name? Said, what do you mean? How do we spell our last name? We want to pay off your $10,000 debt. We want you to adopt your child. We've already adopted several children. We really don't have any more room in our house. And we'd like you to be able to do that. They paid off the $10,000 debt. The cool thing about it is then they proceeded in the adoption process. And it turns out that at the same time that they were getting the check was roughly the same time the baby was conceived. I want you to know this. And why did they do this? Because God had blessed them. They understood what God had done. And so if you think, man, I wish that that would happen to me. How many of you would like all your debt to be paid off? I know only one or two of us have debt, right? But the rest, you know, for me, that'd be a pretty wonderful day. I mean, would you be singing zip-diddy-doo-dah? You show up and your debt is gone? Would your life, would you be more generous if you didn't owe anything to anyone? And that'd be a pretty fascinating thing for those of us who still are working that way through our lives. If you realize that everything coming up, your future was taken care of, do you think you'd act a little differently? If a stranger whom you didn't know very well was to walk into your life and do some fantastic act of kindness that you didn't deserve, what would your response be? And so you say, well, look, it doesn't do any good to be lost in that type of fantasy world right now. Preacher, that's not a very good thing to think about. I'd just like to tell you this. It has already happened. It has, in fact, already happened. One has come into your life and has taken the full penalty, the full debt that you owed spiritually, and paid it in full. Your sin, your transgression has been taken care of by the cross of Jesus Christ. And when we reflect on that, I hope that you're thankful. And when you really let that sink in, you realize that He gave His life, just as Matthew said, as Jesus was instructing, you gave without paying. Now give without receiving. I hope that our thanks will lead to giving. Amen. Stand to our feet, church. Let's pray. Would you pray with me? The Father in heaven, I praise you and I give you glory and I give you honor that you are the giver of every good and perfect gift, as we heard earlier today from Kathy. Lord, thank you. And I pray that from this day forward, just that simple concept, because of what we've just absorbed, allow our spirits to just take that in. That even when we look at the word thanksgiving, we won't see it the same. We will see it differently. We will break it down and know that we can be thankful to you and think about everything that you've done for us, and that will transform us to be people who are giving, to be people who reflect your generosity. Lord, that it's Jesus gave us his life, that we would lay down our lives for the purpose you've called. And Lord, I thank you as you've given us examples in scripture, you've given us examples throughout our lives, that when we do that, we find ourselves walking in harmony with the purpose in which you have put us here on this earth. God, I pray encouragement for each one, that open our eyes to see how good you are And God, I pray for those of us who are in the midst of very difficult situations and circumstances, whether they be medical or financial or emotional or relational, that we can still be transformed by your goodness. You have given us life everlasting. Encourage your people and transform us from just people who are thankful to people who are generous. Lord, this is our prayer, and we offer it in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. God bless you, my church family. I pray you just...
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.